So if we want to have a leadership culture, you're going to teach me leadership the moment you are hiring me. The moment you bring me in the door, you have to plant that DNA in me. You're not waiting for me to develop into the super leader and become the super manager and to have the territory and to bring the millions of dollars. No. You hire me today. You train me as a leader yesterday.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Misael Diaz. He not only is a business development leader for Venturity Financial Partners, but he is also the founder of Advanced Leadership Consulting. Not basic, it's advanced. So it's for all of you like high-level thinkers out there. It'll take you further. Which is a company dedicated to helping businesses and individuals achieve their business and personal goals. He is an international coach and speaker. He trains both large and small groups on how to maximize their potential and transform their lives. Over the past 8 years, Misael has worked with globally recognized brands. You're going to know some of these: AT&T, Bose Corporation, Siricom International, Starbucks, Avon, Amway, Melia Hotels, Hyatt Exclusive Collections, and Casa de Campo Resorts, among others. He's also a best-selling author. There's pretty much nothing he can't do is what you should be taking away from this. He has books such as Creating a New Story and The Leader, Born, Made, and It Multiplies. And we'll have links for those in the show notes where you can go purchase them and live a better life. He lives in Dallas, Texas, with his wife, Helen, and their two children. Welcome to the show, Misael.
Hey, Kenny. Thank you for having me. I'm grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for that intro. I felt like somebody else should be walking in right now. It should be talking. Yeah, so thank you.
Where is this guy? I want to meet him. Like, who is this?
Who is that person? Yes.
No, absolutely. Man, we're talking to him. You got an impressive resume, and people should know about it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, man, I'm so excited to have this conversation. I know our first conversation, we were just zinging back and forth. Lots of shared ideas, a shared spirit, and just a passion for leadership. But tell me today, Misael, what is on your mind?
At this very moment in my mind is your audience. And the reason your audience is in my mind, Kenny, is because every time I have an opportunity to speak to anyone, whether it is via the airwaves of your podcast or a live audience or, you know, the many different forms that nowadays we can communicate, first of all, I'm grateful for you because basically today you're writing a blank check to me from this particular podcast standpoint. Mm-hmm. Your number one product is your audience. Mm-hmm. This is totally unscripted. You don't know what I'm about to say, how I'm going to say it. So there is no control on that from your part. And yet you're trusting me to come here and join you and speak to your audience, speak to the people that trust you to bring value and you know, on a monthly or a weekly basis. So your audience is in my mind. And the question that I'm asking myself, you know, when I'm thinking about your audience is, what do I know? What do I have that could be of value to that for them today? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I know? What do I have that could be of value for them today? So that's what I'm thinking of right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you saying a blank check. Number one, that was a great movie in the 90s. Number two, I've told people I write a check. I was like, I don't actually write checks because I live in the 21st century, but I appreciate what that signifies. Sure. So as you're thinking about the audience, as you're thinking about this listener, this leader on the other end of this conversation, what's maybe something that is top of mind for you that you would love for them to know, for them to think differently about within their leadership? I mean, I went through the whole bio, like you've written books, you're speaking to audiences, you're speaking to, you know, smaller groups, large groups, corporate groups.
Sure.
Is there something in your interaction with these different groups that you say, man, I thought I understood this, but I'm taking this away. And I would love for this listener on the other end to have a better understanding of this principle of leadership.
Sure. I'll give you two. So my answer is going to be a two-part answer. Number one, it's because one leads to the other, and the second one, mm-hmm. in my opinion, will never happen unless we understand the first one. And the first one is potential. It's us becoming aware of our potential. I say it this way, Kenny. I say that the best gift that you and I could ever receive, or the best gift that you and I could ever give someone, mm-hmm. is awareness of potential. Is making mm-hmm. them aware, or us becoming aware of our potential. And to put it in simple terms, potential is simply everything that you and I could be, do, or have that mm-hmm. we are yet to be, that we are yet to do, that we are yet to have. So I don't have the potential to be speaking with you. I'm already speaking with you. Mm-hmm. Now, I have the potential to be somewhere else in an hour or two, three, 5 hours from now. But as of this moment, you know, what I'm doing is no longer my potential. So the best thing that as leaders we could get hold on of, or, you know, we could grasp, is our potential. Because once we become aware of our leadership potential, then our possibilities expand, our possibilities grow. Mm. We learn that there is different opportunities, that there is so much more that we could be, there is so much more that we could do, there is so much more that we could have, right? Mm-hmm. But it's from that standpoint, from the standpoint of becoming aware of my potential. So that's the first thing. So that's the first part of my answer. So what can you get hold on? What can you grab? What can you take as a leader today? Is that based on your potential, right? It's all of the success, all the possibilities that you could have, that you could create. So as a leader, my advice, or my first advice, is this, is that do not define your world by your limitations, right? Hmm. You have to look at your world by the possibilities, by its possibility. Is it possible in the world? Yes, it is. Maybe I'm limited at this particular point in time, but is it possible somewhere in the world? So I'm not defining who I am as a leader, or what I do as a leader, based on my current condition and circumstances, but rather I'm defining it based on, you know, what's possible in the world. That's what the first thing I will say to that leader.
Yeah, there's a lot I love about that, and a lot of questions I want to ask to unpack that. But I think first, I would love for you to give an example of what you mean by thinking about your potential and then thinking about what's possible in the world to interpret your own current circumstances. Can you give an example of what that might look like or sound like?
Absolutely. So we all come from different backgrounds, different ethnicities. We are a mix of many, many different things. And many times we define ourselves, or we limit ourselves looking backwards. So we define ourselves based on where we come from, based on what we've done, mm-hmm. based mm-hmm. on our last name, based on the school that I went to, based on the academic or non-academic education that I've received, based on the title or the degrees that I possess. So we define ourselves looking backwards rather than, define ourselves or try to determine who we are, what we could do looking forward. My point is that we say, well, I can only do this because I've done that. Instead of saying, I could become this because I'm yet to do that, right? So I could become an author because I'm yet to write a book, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, I cannot be an author because I have never written anything, right? So I will, when I'm interacting with a live audience, Kenny, I like to play around, and I said, look, learning is so easy that the only requirement is that you know nothing. Right? the only requirement for you to learn is that you don't know.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only requirement. So if you know nothing today, you are the perfect candidate to learn. Right? You are the perfect candidate to learn. So the example is this. Hey, before you had a podcast, imagine if you sat in your house, or you were talking to a friend, your wife or a colleague or whoever, and you say, man, I have this burning desire of adding value to people and changing lives and letting people know that they can be, do, and have more, that they can go beyond that they can have done, that there is a giant within them. But, you know, I have never turned on a microphone, so I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I've never used this particular software. I've never spoken to anybody. I've never interviewed anybody, so I'm not going to do it. You're defining yourself based on what you've done rather than defining yourself on the possibilities of what you could be, right? So not based on your current condition or circumstances, rather on the emerging future, right?
Right. There's so much I love about what you're saying. It's a drum that I beat quite often, not just for myself, but for others like you. I mean, we share a similarity in that we both speak and coach and train around the concepts of leadership, things that have really impacted us and helped us grow. We want to see that for others. A couple of things come to mind. One, with what might I be capable of? What could my potential lead me into? It's a commonly used example, but when you think about the 4-minute mile, like somebody running the 4-minute mile.
Sure.
Nobody, it was thought to be an impossibility in like globally. I mean, runners had been running since the, you know, days of ancient Greece when actual marathon, like he ran 26.2 miles or whatever it actually was. Yeah. And then you have, and someone's going to email me if I get this wrong, and that's fine. I can delete your email, but Roger Bannister goes and breaks the 4-minute mile. And I want to say in the 12 months that followed him breaking it, there was like, I don't know, like 12 to 20 other individuals suddenly snap. They saw that it was possible in the world for a human to break that barrier, to reach that possibility. And it wasn't, though, until there was somewhere in the world that had happened. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been reflecting on that a lot with the project I'm working on currently, where I've had some people say, well, I don't know if you should or you could do this thing. I'm building an online community, which by the time this comes out, will already be live and on the interweb, so you can go to my website to look into that. But looking at it as a way to add value, to generate revenue, and just support people where they're at, right? Because I got the big ticket item, but not everybody's ready for that. But I don't see a bunch of my other coach friends who are building something like this. So I've had to go outside of my circle and go, is what I'm thinking about, is what that burning desire, is it possible? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I'm looking around and there's all these other people who are doing this. And there's courses on how to build a $1 million online community, all these different things. And so now I go, okay, well, it's possible. I just have to put in the work. I have to know nothing. So that I can, I think my children probably think I'm ripe for learning all the time, because I'm pretty convinced that they think I know nothing. So that was number one. The other one is a little bit more fun and playful, which is I'll have people who say, like my kids will say, well, I don't, you know, that some of them are a little more shy than others. I don't know if your kids are split this way. Like one is just like total extrovert and the other one's like, hard pass on meeting new people. But they're like, I don't like meeting new people. Anytime anyone says that to me, my children included, I'll go, every person you know now was a stranger to you and you had to meet them for the first time in order to know them now.
Correct.
So I don't think you have that big of a problem meeting new people because you know people now. You weren't born knowing them, right? And so for all of us as leaders, when we think about these big endeavors, is anything you currently are doing or anything in looking back that you have achieved and you could look on as a success, you didn't know how to do it or that you could do it at that level prior to you doing it for the first time and it being brand new and just full of potential, right?
Yes. Yes.
So is that, and is that the most common way of thinking that is really getting in people's way of taking these steps and achieving their potential? Is somehow in their head, they're like, well, I've never done that before, not remembering all the things that they had never done before they did them. And correct. I know that I've turned into like Dr. Seuss at this point, so I should probably shut up. But what are you encountering with that? And why is that such a hard mental block for people to overcome without having someone like you come along and sort of like, let me break you out of this?
Yeah. So it's the uncertainty of the unknown, right? The uncertainty of the unknown. It's not knowing what I don't know. It's that you mentioned, you know, our kids, same. I have a teenager. Mm. My son is a teenager. He's 14 years old.
I'll pray for you.
He is very much like you described. You know, he struggles to meet new people, but then after 20 minutes, he transforms into this jovial, a lot of jokes, very mm-hmm. funny type of guy. But, you know, the first 5 minutes of the conversation were totally awkward and you know, trying to hide, right? Mm-hmm. My daughter is totally opposite. She's 10 and you say hi and it's like your family and you've known each other for 100 years, right? So it's completely different. And when you bring that to leadership and you talk about what I am encountering right now, what I'm seeing is that we many times, mm-hmm. leaders, we'd rather cling that what we don't like, but we know, rather than go and onto a new endeavor and take a new challenge, right? With mm-hmm. uncertainty. We're trying to avoid uncertainty. We're trying to leave without uncertainty. We're trying to lead without uncertainty. And it is impossible because the reality is that's what leadership is actually, is not knowing. You know, mm-hmm. a leader does many, many, many things, but let me give you one of them, is that it moves people, processes, projects, vision from point A to point B, from the known to the unknown, and that which is unknown is called vision, right? So mm-hmm. a leader, right, moves whatever is moving, people, processes, companies, projects, endeavors, you mm-hmm. name it. It moves it from what it's known to the unknown, and that which is unknown, it's what is called vision, right? So if you mm-hmm. if you're trying to lead without uncertainty, you're trying to lead without vision, literally.
Right. Which what's the saying that if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up anywhere.
Yes.
Right. Like you're just sort of wandering around.
And I will add to that: if you don't know where you're going, your speed doesn't matter.
Everybody rewind and replay that. Can you elaborate on that? Because I've had conversations recently. It's so funny. So many of the things you're bringing up are like recent or tagging into recent conversations I've had with clients and other leaders. Talk to me about the speed and pacing.
Well, it's simple. I mean, it sounds simple, but we don't pay attention to it. We don't know where we're going, and yet we're trying to move as fast as possible, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to move as quickly as possible, and yet we don't know where, you know, which direction we're going, what is our destination. We don't have a clear target, and yet we want to be in motion at all times. It's because the world that we live in today and mm-hmm. the way we are programmed today, we vilify or we diminish being quiet for a moment or stopping for a moment or reflecting, right? We equate losing or unproductivity with being still, right? And as a leader, yes, you want to be in motion when you know where you're going. But if you don't know where you're going, you don't want to be in motion, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a destination, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how fast you are moving. In fact, what you're doing is, more often than not, you know, moving fast, not knowing where you're going, what you're doing is either wasting resources or creating more damage than what you have, right? So, look, we all want to have the biggest everything, the fastest everything, the best of everything. We want to be the first at everything and all of that. And hey, aspiring to do great, that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But look, you must first define what you're trying to build, what you're trying to do. Look, I'll share this with you, Kenny. In a couple of weeks from now, I will be in Amsterdam, in Holland, mm-hmm. with a group of leaders from a variety of countries in Europe. Mm-hmm. One of the exercises I've done for corporations, I'm going to be doing in Holland in a few weeks from now. And is I'm going to take a bunch of index cards, okay? Blank index cards. And I'm going to give, this is all executives. They work for the same business, for the same company. Many of them have been around for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Picture a room full of executives, right? Different places around the world, but they work under the same vision, the same everything, right?
Okay.
I will hand them a blank business card and I will ask them one question. And the only one condition that they have is that they don't talk to each other. They are not allowed to seek advice or to consult with one another. It is a private answer. And here's mm-hmm. the question. How do you, let's say where this is Acme, right? So Acme LLC, right? Executives for Acme LLC.
Mm-hmm.
They are all in a room. And the only thing they have is a blank index card in their hands. Mm-hmm. And here's the question. How do you, Acme, right? Give me the definition of leadership according to Acme LLC. Go. And I will give them whatever time they want. And I'll give them 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'll give them whatever time they want. Take a guess. How many of them give me exactly the same answer?
Probably none of them.
You got that right. Very few time, extremely very few time, I get one or two people to give me exactly the same answer. You know why? It's because we do not, as leaders, we do not take time to define what leadership means within our organization. And here is the punchline. If you cannot define it, you cannot build it. Okay?
All right.
If you cannot define it, you cannot build it.
Which really strikes at the heart of all of these like learning and development, departments and leadership pipelines and we're doing leadership development. And it's like, what are we developing? Yeah. Leadership. What is that?
Exactly.
It's something. So when I love this concept, I do, something similar more from just like a verbal perspective. When I talk to teams about core values in the organization, cause they want to have like 37 core values. And I tell them, it's like, if I have $100 bill, or if I have a stack of them and I go into your organization and I say, anybody who can tell me all of your core values and the definitions exactly as they are stated, I will give you $100 bill right now. I said, how many Benjamins am I handing out? And everybody looks around and then their heads go down. They're like, well, you might give one to this guy, but he's been here for forever, but nobody else would know it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just shared communication can do so much. But I love your application of that way of thinking towards what are we building in leadership?
Correct.
And what I'm curious about is, because there are, like, you know, something you and I spoke about on one of our first conversations was Maxwell and the work you had done with that organization and speaking and things like that. Now, a lot of people look to people like John Maxwell or Dave Ramsey or Patrick Lencioni or any of these other, like, great, just like leadership thinkers and authors. And I think have a tendency to outsource their definition to them. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be inspired by or influenced by their thinking.
Sure.
But do you find that people are trying to grab at other people's definitions instead of taking the time to do the work to define what it means for them? Is that the tripping point, or is it that they've never really thought about a definition of leadership?
Well, the thing is that all of these concepts and theories and philosophies and teaching points and all of those are simply guidelines and tools for us to learn, you know, how to think. For it's a starting point. Their concepts and their philosophies are not wrong, but they're simply is the very first step. It literally is the very first step, is just starting. They are telling you, hey, these are things that you should be aware of. Mm-hmm. But now, how do you define, how do you build that leadership within your organization? Mm-hmm. You know, that leader that you, so it's based on your values. Mm-hmm. Right, it's based on your culture, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it's based on where you are going. So one of the things I've learned over the years, Kenny, is that you don't recruit for where you are, you recruit for where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I'm not gonna recruit for my situation today, because my today, my present is not, you know, today is not the result of my decisions today,
mm-hmm.
right? So, for example, again, let's say I'm in front of an audience. I stand up in front of an audience, a group of people, whatever number of people, right? Sometimes into the thousands, or sometimes two people, doesn't matter. I get up in front of them and I say, look at me. Look at me. And after a couple seconds, I say, look, what you're seeing right now, you are looking at it in the present, but you're looking at the past.
Mm.
And I make a pause, right? And then I repeat it again. And I say, look, you can see me in the present, but you're looking at my past. Mm-hmm. And again, the puzzling question comes in until I say, look, the reason you're looking at my past is because today I am who I am based on the decisions that I made yesterday. So mm-hmm. I am today the result of the decisions I made yesterday. If you want to know who I am today, what I'm doing today, you would have to, right? You will have to wait 3 months, 6 months, a year. So the decisions I'm making today will come in display, will be reflected, will become evident. So it's the same thing, right? We're building leaders, but what is it, right? You don't do it for today. You do it for where you're going, right? What right. is it where you're going? And all of these books and the things, and I'm a student, right? Mm-hmm. I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly listening. I'm constantly developing myself. I believe in all of it, but that's not the end all. Right. That's not the end of it. You know, it's not the final thing. It's just for you to know what's possible. And then you have to look at your people and your vision and say, what am I trying to build? What is the culture that I want? And what are my values? And then based on that, you will develop. And then I'll finish with this on that long answer. And that's the reason I tell leaders, business owners, business operators, I tell them, the leader you're looking for doesn't exist. You will never be able to hire the leader you're looking for. And they ask me, why? What, so what am I going to do? It says, the leader you're looking for, you build it. You don't recruit it. you build it. You find people that you can invest time and resources in them and build them into the leader that you want. But the leader that you want doesn't exist. You will have to develop it.
There's so much I love about that. Man, we might have to do a part two. I'm getting excited. So when you're talking about building an organizational definition of leadership, right? And I don't hear you saying it's like throw everything out. Like it's take something from that. See what's meaningful for you.
Sure.
When do you think the right time to build a definition of leadership is, and who should be involved in that process?
So it's a fluid conversation, and it will never end. Start as early as possible. Okay. Start as early as possible. You know, start even with you, one person.
Okay.
The moment you start learning about your potential, and the moment you start thinking of yourself as a leader, you must have a definition of leadership. Now, is that the end of it? No, that's going to change. It's going to be fluid because the world changes. Your circumstances change. You know, your desires will change. Your knowledge will change. Your level of awareness will increase. The information that you have will change. The way you see things will change. The more you grow, the more you will see, the more things will expand. And what you thought it was impossible yesterday, now today is a walk in the park. And what it seemed to be, unacceptable at one point, now it is acceptable. And all of it. So my point is that you should have a definition of leadership as early as possible, even when it's just you by yourself. That's it, you know, and then involve as many people as you can as you go along, right? Training that as early as possible.
Right.
As early as possible. That's my perspective on that. Let me tell you why, Ken. And the way I define that, let's call it culture of leadership. Okay. A culture of leadership. And then a culture of leadership is a process or a place or a habit, however you want to call it. A culture of leadership is where leaders are constantly and systematically being developed, right? It's a constant thing. It's a constant flow. You have a bench of leadership. And how do you know you have a culture? Number one, you have a language. Number two, is predictable, right? Number three, you teach it at the lowest level, not at the highest level,
right?
That's important. That's extremely important. I wish, you know, we have more time because that will be extremely, you know, broad, but I will try to be as brief as possible. Think, for example, this country in a couple of months, in November, we will celebrate a holiday at the end of November. What holiday is that?
Thanksgiving.
And what are likely, at least traditionally, I know people now change a little bit, but at least traditionally, what are we going to eat?
As much as humanly possible. Now, we're going to have turkey. We're going to have stuffing, mashed potatoes, crescent. You're getting me hungry right now, man.
There you go. Now, how old is your youngest child?
Two.
Okay. Are you waiting for your two-year-old baby to be 18 to teach him Thanksgiving, or is he already or her learning Thanksgiving?
Oh, he will learn. He will probably be wearing Thanksgiving.
There you go. So that's my point. We teach culture at the lowest level. You're not waiting for your child to become an adult so you can teach him the culture, right? So if we want to have a leadership culture, you're going to teach me leadership the moment you are hiring me. The moment you bring me in the door, You have to plant that DNA in me. You're not waiting for me to develop into the super leader and become the super manager and to have the territory and to bring the millions of dollars. No. You hire me today. You train me as a leader yesterday. And you develop that culture.
I love that. Something you're saying, it connects with some of the work that I do with leadership teams, and building their, we call it just an organizational roadmap. Mm-hmm. Is we have something called the, culture equation, where we say that core values plus, so like who we are at our best plus organizational habits, things we're going to do to express those values together on a regular basis, equal our cultural attributes. Now we go ahead and name the culture that we want to design and create and have. And it would sound like you would need to have those things in place. And then you can say, okay, and now that that's the culture of the whole place, how do we develop leaders out of it that would reinforce this, that would champion this, that would help develop others in this way? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. That's a very fair assessment. You know, it's systematically, constantly developing those leaders. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it's a fair assessment.
So I love the concept of just developing from day one. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing who you are and what you want to be about, having that vision of where you're going should determine, okay, if this is where we're going in the future, what sort of people are we going to need to reach that destination, that long term? Because vision's usually like way out in the future. It's usually not just the next, few months. If you're hiring, sort of going back to what you said at the beginning of this conversation, if you're hiring based on potential,
mm-hmm.
right, and you're saying I'm willing to take on the responsibility as their direct supervisor or just as a leader in this organization, I'm willing to take on the responsibility to invest and cultivate that potential so that this person can be who we need them to be to get us where we would like to go or need to go. Mm-hmm. How do you get people to shift that? Like, that's a very other-centered mindset, because I would think because leadership is not a title. I mean, I'm sure you could go in depth and having taught all of Maxwell's materials, that title mm-hmm. is really the lowest position or the lowest level of leadership. Mm-hmm. If people are thinking about, well, I'm the owner, let's say I'm an executive and I'm looking around, I was like, oh, I need to get these other people shifting into more of a leadership gear, and I need to develop them. Does that require a formal program? Is that a 12-month, like, you're going to go through these classes and these things? Is it less formal than that? Or what are you seeing be effective in people really shifting into a culture of leadership like you've been describing?
So what I've learned over the years, Kenny, is that leadership is caught, not taught. Okay.
All right.
So
I love that.
People caught leadership. You don't teach them leadership. That's not something, we say I'm studying leadership and all that. No. We're studying, material that will stimulate our leadership potential within us. Right. Mm-hmm. For example, if you never sent your kids to school, let's mm-hmm. say you never, ever sent them to school, and you just stayed home with them 24/7 and you allow them to see you, just look at you. The only thing they will do is look at you. I guarantee you that they will learn whatever you're doing. If you mm-hmm. read, they will learn to read. If you write, they will learn to write. Yeah. If you speak other languages, they will learn other languages. If you cook, they will learn to cook. So we caught leadership. So as leaders, right, instead of, look, books, again, I have a list of hundreds, if not thousands of books that I could probably give you, right? So books are phenomenal. Podcasts are phenomenal. materials, is all of that is phenomenal. But here's the disconnect. Here's the problem that we have many times, is that we have people in leadership positions, right? I'm choosing my words carefully. We have people in leadership positions that don't act as leaders, but they want to develop leaders. You cannot export what you do not have. You cannot teach me what you do not know. You cannot model what you are not. So before you can teach me something, you have to be that something. And before I can cut something from you, you have to be it. You have to model it. The mm-hmm. best way to develop a leader is to model leadership to that person. Don't yeah. tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Don't tell me what you expect from me. Show me what you expect from me, right? Don't tell me how to walk. Show me how you walk, and I will follow your steps. That's the best way. Are programs phenomenal? Yes. Is your online community phenomenal? Yes, it is. Can you have a coach? Absolutely. Do you need a mentor? For sure, you do need a mentor. But again, if you are my leader, don't just be a title holder. Be it. That's why I love the word, behave. If you take that word, behave, right? Break it into be, have. You have to be it before you have it. You want good leaders? You have to be a good leader. You want good employees? You have to be good leader or good owner, a good business operator, whatever, right? Be, have, behave. Be it before you have it. It's model. It's not only programs. Yeah. You have to model it.
Man, if you were holding a real microphone, I would say just drop it and walk off stage. But your microphone's in your computer and it's probably pretty expensive. Yeah. So somebody listening to this is saying, hey, all right, Miss Hale, I'm on board. This resonates. I love this. I want to be part of developing a culture of leadership, or I want my company, maybe they're an owner, to have this culture, this pipeline, this bench of leadership, and I want to be this leader you're talking about, so that they catch it instead of just hearing me teach it.
Sure.
What's the first step? What's a baby step someone can take next 24 hours with little to no money to make progress towards all these things that you've been describing?
It is the least costly. Mm-hmm. But it's the most difficult one.
Bring it.
Okay. Lead yourself. It's a decision. It's a decision rather than a skill, rather than an ability, rather than you buying an equipment, is lead yourself. That's the first thing. Decide to lead yourself. Right. What is leading myself? I'm following through on what I promise I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Right? I am acknowledging that I have blind spots, and I'm finding people to let me know that I have blind spots. I am investing in my strength and recruiting for my weaknesses. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. Right? I'm the leader, but I allow others to do the thinking for me. Right? Mm-hmm. I once heard John say, my best thoughts came from somebody else's brain. Think about that. Okay?
Yeah.
My best thoughts came from somebody else's brain. So the fact that you are the C-suite, or you are the owner, or you are the one has the title and all of that, look, the first thing you could do right now at this very moment, even if you're driving, right? Even if you're driving, it's a simple decision, and yet it's the most difficult one. You must lead yourself. You cannot lead others until you lead yourself. At least you cannot lead them effectively.
I would agree. To drill this down just a little bit, what is one simple way for them to sort of cement this commitment to leading this decision? I know that there are turning points in all of our lives. And I think one of the things that we may have lost, at least here in the West, like in a more Western culture, is the value of of ceremony or something symbolizing a decision, a commitment, a moment. Is there something that you have found or seen or that you've recommended as a way to submit that decision? Because they could be driving, they could be walking, they could be doing whatever.
Sure.
And say, yeah, I'm right with you. All right. I commit to lead myself. Mm-hmm. And then they get to, 3 p.m. the next day and they're just right back in because life and leadership and work and everything else is going to come flying at you and try to choke out that commitment.
Yeah.
What is a simple but effective way that they can submit that commitment right now?
Yeah. So I'm listening to your question and I'm trying to think of something that will be applicable for everybody, regardless of where they are in their journey, because we all are at different journeys, right? So
right.
You may be just starting, you may be very much advanced. So I think, and I may give you multiple, but I will give you this to start, because I think this will apply for everyone, regardless of where they are in their journey, is accountability.
Okay.
Find an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Be accountable to someone. If you don't have a coach, find a coach. Kenny's a very good one, right? So find someone that will hold you accountable. Because the issue with many of those is that we do not lead ourselves because we have no one to report to, or we don't want nobody to report to. So you must hold yourself accountable. We need accountability in our lives. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. One of the things I would say. Now, another thing that I will say, let's say as someone who is more advanced in their journey, is let go. Stop trying to control everything, right? You are losing control because you're trying to stay in control.
Gotcha.
Right?
So they could just release, like find a thing that they're just trying to like hold on to. And let go. And that could be part of their symbolizing, ceremonializing their decision to lead themselves effectively and well.
Correct.
Okay.
One thing I tell entrepreneurs a lot, people that are in that startup phase, nowadays a startup could be a multi-million dollar business and be still a startup, right? But people who are in that multiple hats type of journey, I tell them, look, if you want to accomplish more, focus on doing less. If you want to accomplish more, focus on doing less. And yes, I get that reaction often. It's like, okay, what does that mean? What that means is that, if you want to accomplish, I'm not saying if you want to be doing or busy. No. I say, if you want to accomplish, listen to the word. If you want to accomplish, get more things done. If you want to get more done, focus on doing less. Because if you focus on doing less, you'll be able to put more energy into one or two things. I also say this. Look, I'd rather be a very small pond that is 1,000 feet, deep. Mm-hmm. Not a big ocean that is 1 inch depth. Right?
Yeah.
So let go of control. 80%, you know this, Kenny, 80% done by others is better than 100% done by yourself. So you want to lead yourself. You want to really let it go. Empower somebody else. That's leadership, empowering somebody else to go and do it.
I love that. I think I sense there's like episode 2, 3, 4, we might need a mini series or something like that. Or maybe we'll work on building a course in this new online community. I love this conversation. I'm learning a lot. You're affirming a lot of things that I've been thinking on and processing for myself and for clients. If someone wants to know more about you and your work with Advanced Leadership Consulting or Venturity Financial Partners, as well as your book, podcast, things like that, where should they go?
I think the easiest way to find me right now would be LinkedIn. Misael Diaz, just like that. My name, Misael Diaz. That would be an easy way. If you want to find my website, of course, my website is primarily in Spanish, initially in Spanish, because I do a lot of work in the Spanish-speaking world. Mm-hmm. But you can translate it. Obviously, it gives you the option to go into English. But initially, my website's in Spanish. So if you look for S-O-Y, meaning soy, which is I am in Spanish, but S-O-Y, Misael Diaz, right? S-O-Y, Misael Diaz. So soy Misael Diaz. .com, right? SoyMisaelDiaz.com. That also will give you a window into my world. But, you know, just for, because primarily we've spoken in English here today, I would say that LinkedIn, if you go to LinkedIn, Misael mm-hmm. Diaz, then from there you can branch out and even get in contact with me. That would be the easiest way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it may sound like a braggadocious, but you can also Google me. Just Google me.
Yeah, I don't know how many Misael Diazes are there in the world.
Not that many.
I don't think there's a lot. I tell people that sometimes. I actually literally this morning told somebody, I was like, you can Google me. There's like me and two other Kenny Langs in the world. We're competing for top spot on Google. We're going to have the links on Amazon to your books. And then you have a podcast. Can you just briefly talk about that?
Yeah. So my podcast is The Language of Leadership. We talk all leadership. And again, leadership is a language because mm-hmm. it is a culture, right? So we talk, the name of the podcast is The Language of Leadership. What happens, how leaders behave, how leaders speak, mm-hmm. You talk about how leaders think, right? So your podcast comes before mine because before I can have a language, I must have a thought, right? So
right.
What I speak is the product of my thinking. So I got to come to Kenny first so I can then go to Misael. All right.
So we need to get somebody that's doing like the next
the action,
step.
And the
we'll just string it together. we'll have the link to the show on Spotify, but it's on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else fine podcasts are consumed. Well, Misael, I really appreciate you coming on. I hope that this certainly will not be the last time we have a recorded conversation, but I think you've dropped a lot of wisdom on us for one day, and we're better for it. Please go find him, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, all these different places, and you'll be better for it. And thank you to all you who chose to listen today. We don't take for granted the time that you spent here, as you've heard Misael said at the top of the show, is thinking about you who are saying, hey, I want to learn something. I want to get better. I want to improve myself as a leader, whether you lead one or hundreds. So if you wouldn't mind, I would love a review, rate it, subscribe, like whatever the platform that you're on. They're call to action. Number one, it gives me feedback to improve this podcast. I don't want to do this just for the joy of hearing myself speak. I don't need that. But I would love to make this podcast better and better every time that I hop on one of these conversations so that I'm drawing out the very best of these guests and bringing you content that actually shifts how you think about leadership. The other thing is, any of those actions help this be found by more and more people. And there are leaders just like you who are on their journey that could benefit from hearing one of these conversations that you never know what your actions today might mean for somebody discovering the conversation that unlocks their next level of growth in leadership. And that is a free and easy way for you to pay it forward and make a dent in the universe. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.